Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 1 through 27. This is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, and you, O son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, the end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will punish you for all your abominations. And my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity. But I will punish you for your ways, while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, disaster after disaster, behold, it comes. An end has come. The end has come. It is awakened against you. Behold, it comes. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near, a day of tumult and not of joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will soon pour out my wrath upon you and spend my anger against you and judge you according to your ways, and I will punish you for all your abominations. And my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will punish you according to your ways while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold the day, behold it comes, your doom has come. The rod has blossomed, pride has budded. Violence has grown up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor their abundance, nor their wealth, neither shall there be preeminence among them. The time has come, the day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. For wrath is upon all their multitude. For the seller shall not return to what he has sold while they live. For the vision concerns all their multitude. It shall not turn back. And because of his iniquity, none can maintain his life. They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but none goes to battle, for my wrath is upon all their multitude. The sword is without, pestilence and famine are within. He who is in the field dies by the sword, and him who is in the city famine and pestilence devour. And if any survivors escape, they will be on the mountains, like doves of the valleys, all of them moaning, each one over his iniquity. All hands are feeble, and all knees turn to water. They put on sackcloth, and horror covers them. Shame is on all faces, and baldness on all their heads. They cast their silver into the streets, and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it was the stumbling block of their iniquity. His beautiful ornament they used for pride, and they made their abominable images and their detestable things of it. Therefore I make it an unclean thing to them, and I will give it into the hands of foreigners for prey, and to the wicked of the earth for spoil, and they shall profane it. I will turn my face from them, and they shall profane my treasured place. Robbers shall enter and profane it. Forge a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. I will bring the worst of the nations to take possessions of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the strong, and their holy places shall be profaned. When anguish comes, they will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster comes upon disaster. Rumor follows rumor. They seek a vision from the prophet, while the law perishes from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king mourns, the prince is wrapped in despair, and the hands of the people of the land are paralyzed by terror. According to their way, I will do to them, and according to their judgments, I will judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the word of God. The plight of man on account of sin is the wrath of God. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will punish you for your ways while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The Lord has made known in his wrath that he does not delight in sin, that he cannot dwell with sin. The sin of man deserves the wrath of God. And as every one of you has sinned, that is what every one of you deserves. God's wrath poured out upon you, his anger spent against you. God will not be mocked. He will punish sin. This is not an empty threat, for God does not speak empty words. His word does not return to him empty, but accomplishes all that he has purposed. In Ezekiel chapter 7, the Lord announces to his people that a day of judgment is coming. A day of judgment on account of their sin. A judgment that cannot be undone. A judgment that will be fulfilled. Verse 13, it shall not turn back. And because of his iniquity, none can maintain his life. This is the plight of man on account of sin, sinking under the wrath of God forever. Man cannot turn back this judgment. You cannot turn back this judgment. Man cannot save himself from this wrath. You cannot save yourself from this wrath. In Ezekiel chapter 7, what was the sin of God's people that purchased this wrath? In Ezekiel chapter 7, it was specifically the sin of idolatry. Verse 19, they cast their silver into the streets, and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it was the stumbling block of their iniquity. The people took the silver and the gold which God had given to them, and they used it for the making of idols. And from these idols, they sought their good. From these idols, they sought their daily bread. From these idols, they sought deliverance from death. And we see this same idea in the prophecy of Hosea as well. Hosea chapter 2, verse 8. And she, that is Israel, she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. It was always the Lord who provided for his people what they needed, and far more than what they needed. He not only gave them bread to sustain them, but also wine to make their hearts glad, and oil to make their faces shine. He not only clothed them, but he adorned them with silver and gold. It was always the Lord who delivered his people, who healed them of disease, who rescued them from trouble. And yet, what did Israel do? They took the good things which the Lord had given to them, and they worshipped those things instead of him. They worshipped the things that he gave instead of the one who gave them. And if that seems absurd, that's because it is. It is absurd to worship the creature rather than the Creator, to worship the things that have been made rather than the one who has made them. Idolatry is absurd. And so we must confess that we also are absurd. For you are no less guilty of idolatry than they. You are able to fashion an idol not only out of silver and gold, but out of anything that the Lord has made. Out of anything that the Lord has given. You take the good things that he has given to you, the blessings that he has lavished upon you, and you turn them into objects for worship. You seek your provision from them. You seek your deliverance by them. You seek your happiness in them. You take the gift of marriage and fashion from it an idol, setting your hope in a perfect husband or a perfect wife. But just as an idol cannot satisfy you, your husband will never perfectly satisfy you. He cannot. Your wife will never perfectly satisfy you. She cannot. There is only one who can perfectly satisfy, and it is not your spouse, but the one who gave you your spouse. Your marriage will not save you. Your children will not save you. Your work will not save you. If you seek your salvation in them, they will fail you. If you seek your happiness in them, they will not satisfy you. There is only one who can save. There is only one who can satisfy. Nothing in this world will truly satisfy you until you are satisfied in him. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy you until you are satisfied in Him. You cannot rightly enjoy the good things of this world until you enjoy Him. For the one who is satisfied in God is perfectly satisfied. The one who is satisfied in God is content. He is content when he abounds with plenty. And he is content when he suffers want. His joy in the Lord is no greater when he is given the good things of this world. And his joy in the Lord is no less when they are taken from him. The one who is satisfied in God, he is content. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The things of this world cannot satisfy you. The things of this world cannot save you. If you set your hope in them, they will fail you. If your portion is in this life, it will end with this life. Israel took the good things that the Lord had given and made idols from them. Idols that could not satisfy their hunger. Idols that could not deliver them from death. In verse 20, we read of the extent of this idolatry. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 20. His beautiful ornament they used for pride, and they made their abominable images and their detestable things of it. What was this beautiful ornament? This beautiful ornament that belonged to the Lord, which he had given to his people. This is likely a reference to the temple. For the temple was the great jewel of Israel. The temple was the crown of the land, the crown of Jerusalem, the crown of Zion. For the temple was the dwelling place of God with his people. Israel took the temple. Israel took the dwelling place of God and made it a place for the worship of other gods. They took the temple of the Lord and made it a house of idolatry. It was for this reason that the Lord promised to give the temple into the hands of foreigners, to give His beautiful ornament into the hands of foreigners that they might profane it. In verse 22, He promises to turn His face from them as His treasured place is profaned. Again, what is that treasured place? It is the temple of the Lord. It is the house of God, the place of Israel's greatest treasure, the Lord Himself. But here God announces that He will depart from that place. He will forsake that place. He will turn His face from that place as it is profaned. In verses 20 through 22, God is announcing the coming destruction of the temple and the turning of His face away from it. This is a reversal of that great promise that He would dwell with His people, with the blessing of His face shining upon His people. And so what we read here in verses 20 through 22, it is connected to what we read in verse 10. Behold the day, behold it comes, your doom has come, the rod has blossomed. But what is that connection between verses 20 through 22 and verse 10? What is the connection between God's beautiful ornament, His treasured place, and this rod that has blossomed? Well, the blossoming of the rod, or the blossoming of the staff, should be a very familiar image to you. The blossoming of the rod, or the blossoming of the staff, it should immediately bring to mind the blossoming of Aaron's staff. And what was the blossoming of Aaron's staff for? The blossoming of Aaron's staff, it was the sign that the Lord had chosen him. It was the sign that the Lord had chosen him and his sons for the priesthood, to draw near to the Lord and to minister in His house. The blossoming of Aaron's staff, it was the announcement, it was the sign that Aaron and his sons were chosen to pronounce the benediction on God's people. And what was that benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The blossoming of the staff, it should indicate the blessing of God, the presence of God with His people, the face of God shining upon His people. But in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 10, the staff has blossomed, but not for blessing. The staff has blossomed for judgment. And the service of this priesthood, the service of this ministry in Ezekiel chapter 7, it will not be for blessing, but for judgment. The service of this priesthood, the service of this ministry will be not for the turning of God's face toward His temple, but for the turning away of God's face from His temple. It will not be for the strengthening of the temple, but for its destruction. In Ezekiel chapter 7, we reach one of the lowest places in all of Scripture. One of its darkest hours. We hear of a doom that cannot be undone. A wrath that cannot be turned back. When God will turn His face away from His temple. When God will forsake His dwelling among His people. But even as we hear of this doom, the doom of God's people, we also hear the hope of God's people. Even as we hear of the judgment of God's people, we also hear of their salvation. For in the fullness of time, something far more beautiful than that temple of gold and silver has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus, whose body is the true temple. Jesus, who is the dwelling place of God with man. And not only is He the true temple, but His priesthood is the true priesthood. But what was the service of His priesthood? It was a service that required the turning away of God's face and the destruction of the temple. And the death of Christ upon the cross, the Lord's beautiful ornament, was made unclean as He bore the sins of His people. And the death of Christ upon the cross, the Lord turned away His face as His treasured place was profaned. The judgment of God fell upon Him on account of your idolatry and sin. The wrath of God was poured out upon him for you. The anger of God was spent against him for you. As the Son was forsaken by his Father. The judgment of Ezekiel chapter 7. It is your salvation. The profaning of the beautiful ornament of God. It is your salvation. The rejection of his treasured place. It is your salvation. Your idols cannot save you. But here is one who can. Here is one who will. For the temple that was destroyed has been raised. And his priesthood did not end in death, but continues forever. That in him God might dwell with you. That in him God's face might shine upon you. The works of your hands cannot save you. But here is one whose work can. Your marriages will not perfectly satisfy you. But here is a bridegroom who can. So keep yourselves from idols. And rest in him. Keep yourselves from idols. And be satisfied in him. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray.